Praise the Lord, church. God is so awesome. Amen. I love him with all my heart. And if I don't love him with all my heart, I want to. So I want to give everything I've got. And so my message tonight is going to be based on where is your focus? And so that's what I need, more focus on God, to be focused on him and put my heart where it needs to be at and to keep my focus on God. And one thing I want to talk about is, get right into it, salt. The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, I think put that up, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Amen. So I want to understand a little bit about salt, where salt come from, the history of salt. I noticed the Egyptians used it in their religious practices. Salt was used as currency between some of the empires in the Middle East. They actually used it as currency. Before refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food. It was very valuable. People used it. People fought wars over salt, which I thought was sort of ironic, but that's what the history says, is people literally had wars over salt. The word salary, when we get paid, comes from the word salt. It said that special rations were given to the Roman soldiers, which was salt, which was known as, and if I can say this right, salarum argentum. I hope I may have slaughtered that, but it was a forerunner of the English word salary. So that's where we got that from, is because they were paid in salt. Okay? Salt was highly valuable, and its production was legally restricted. Can you believe that? People were restricted on manufacturing salt because of the value of it. I thought was sort of, to me, it was weird. The word salt also originated, the word salad also originated from the word salt, because the Romans salted their leafy greens and vegetables. So that's where the word salt would have come from. And I'm just giving an idea of how important salt was in our world. Okay, it was a very important commodity that they had at the time. Salt was crucial, important economically. The expression, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there was an expression that they used, not worth his salt. And that derived from the Roman, when they, with the slave trade practice, they would pay for people with salt. And if the man wasn't worthy of the cost, he wasn't worth his salt. Okay? Which I thought, you know, all these things, I'm like, because I started digging into it and I didn't realize all this stuff. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. How important salt was. And Jesus used it as an expression that we are the salt of the world. Okay? Then I noticed that our bodies require salt to be healthy. Without salt, our body will not function properly. It's needed to transmit nerve pulses, contract and relax muscle fibers, including those of the heart and blood vessels, and maintain a proper fluid balance. Salt also makes us thirsty. Okay, and so I was curious about that, because it said all that, so I dug into that a little bit. And apparently, from what I understand, when you eat too much salt, your body, when it has too much salt, it causes your body to become thirsty, because there has to be an even balance of salt and fluids in your body. So therefore, when you eat too much salt, therefore you become thirsty. Okay. But then the reality is, when you don't have enough salt, or sometimes salt even loses its savor, or some would say its flavor. As like, I mean, how many people go to a table and sit down and they don't use salt for their meal? I mean, I salt stuff. If I get French fries, I want salt on my fries. So, I mean, it's just, I see some people, I don't care what it is, they're putting salt on it. Some people get too much salt. They can't have salt because of having too much salt in their body. But salt can make you thirsty. So the reality is, we need to be such that we can cause others to be thirsty for Christ. That we put so much flavor out there that they see what we possess and they want what we've got. We make them thirsty for Christ. So therefore, you know, we are the salt of the earth. When they're looking toward us, okay, so the reality is, where is our focus? Because if our focus ain't where it should be, we're like that salt that has lost its savor. Because we're not good for a whole lot because we're not focused on Him. Does that make any sense, church? So we have to live our lives as Christians before an unsaved world because we want to get that unsaved world saved. Because, see, there is a time coming, and we're not far from it, that is called the last days. I think if you look at the world and you look at what's going on in the world, and I've been hearing, I've been listening to a lot of stuff. Can be very depressing, but I want to know what's going on in the world. I'm not going to go into it because it's horrendous. It's ridiculous. I've read the book, and I've read a lot of stuff that the Bible said it happened in the church, and a lot of things that were going on back in the day, and I don't even want to talk about it because it was pretty horrendous. And God showed prophets and visions of what people were doing in those days, and God brought light to what they were doing, and it was very, very, very evil, very, very dark of what people were doing in those days. And so you think, well, that's all done. No, it's worse today. I'm talking child trafficking. I'm talking human trafficking and sex slavery. I'm talking children that are being bred. Women are, I'm going to get into it a little bit. You got young girls that are being basically kidnapped and or have been blood raised into this organization, which is Luciferian religion, okay? And they want pregnant these girls. And these children that these girls have, there's two sides to it with them. One, they give birth to these children, and these children are raised in this. They're undocumented. Nobody knows they live. So they're raised to give birth to other kids. And a lot of times those babies are killed or sacrificed to Lucifer. This is how horrendous it is. It's very, very bad. It happened then. It's happening now. People just don't realize that it's happening. And believe it or not, our president had signed an executive order against this. It's just a war on this stuff. That's why I started looking into it. It's like, and it's really bad. And it goes high up into our governments, to the richest of the rich are into this stuff. Okay, so, and it shows me that this world's not changing. It's getting bad. But God is giving us a place that we can reach souls for Him. Okay, that we can touch people's hearts and to change the world. There is a revival coming, church. The Bible says in the last days, there is a revival coming. And I believe that this church is going to be full of people because that revival is going to hit and people are going to give in their hearts to God. It's prophesied in the book. It's going to happen. And the Bible is true. And if you look at all the history and you look at all of what the Bible said is going to happen in the world in the last days, and you look at what's going on in the world in the last days, we're there. We're not too far away from Israel signing the Jerusalem covenant. And when they sign that Jerusalem covenant, the Bible says that it's going to be 7 years to the war of Armageddon. Now, some want to say there's 7 years of tribulation. That's not biblical. It should be 3.5 years, but there will be 7 years from the time they signed the Jerusalem covenant until the last days, or till the war of Armageddon. Yeah. They keep working on a peace deal in Israel about Jerusalem. And your people wonder, well, why is it such a big deal with Jerusalem? Well, see, God said, that's where I'm going to place my name. Okay, so what happens? Everything God wants, Satan wants. And so God wants Jerusalem. Satan wants Jerusalem. Okay? There is a moss in Jerusalem. That ain't God's moss. Okay? Just to give you an idea, Satan wants everything God wants. That's why he's trying to fight for it. He ain't going to win, but he's fighting for it. He's fighting for your life. He's fighting for every soul he can take to hell with him. And sorry for all the stuff about what I talked about. It's just horrendous about the children, but it's happening. And the Bible talked about it in the Bible days where people were sacrificing their children to Moloch and to different devils or gods. They want to call them gods. They're still doing it today. They have never stopped. And there's so much more I could tell you about what I've heard. That's just, my mind was just blown, if I can say it that way, of what I heard people are doing. And you don't know it, you never will. And you won't realize how many people in our government are involved in this stuff that would just blow your mind. I'm talking about presidents of the United States of America. I'm talking about senators. I'm talking about congresspeople. I'm talking about the richest of the rich are involved in this stuff. And they don't want you to know that stuff. Okay, it's horrendous. And it ain't just in our government. It's in other governments. And that's why you see President Trump has signed an executive order because he wants to try to clean this stuff up. But nevertheless, that just gives you an idea of where we're at in this world and that there is a time coming that that God is going to come back after his church. And I don't think that time is far away. And there's going to be a revival just before that happens. And God's going to, and the Bible prophesies it, so it's going to happen. So, for example, okay, we're talking about losing focus. It made me think of Peter when he was on the boat. And in Matthew 14:25-33. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And now this is what I think is pretty cool. Peter answered him and said, "Lo, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter was come out, or excuse me, and Peter was come down out of the ship. Now that's what gets me, because some people say, "Oh, it was just a little dinghy boat." Now, this was a ship. He had to climb down out of it. So it wasn't like it was just a little bitty ship in the middle of an ocean. So Peter comes down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now let me point out a point. He said, "O thou of little faith." He didn't say he had no faith. How many of you would have climbed out of a ship and walked on water? I don't care if Jesus was down there. How many of you, the other disciples didn't do it? There were 12 of them. Peter's the one that did. So he may have had a little faith, but he had a little bit more than the others had. Okay, because he got, it sounds funny, but he's the one that got out of the ship. They did not. They were horrified, wondering if he even was Jesus, because you read the book. But the reality was, why did he sink? Because he got his focus off of Jesus. You see where I'm coming from? The focus has to maintain on Jesus Christ. Okay, so what can cause us to lose our focus on Jesus? Okay, the reality is the cares of life, worrying about debt, family, work, too much stress, health issues, drama, being too busy about things. Friend, I mean, the reality, we can look at kids at school. Kids at school, they have peer pressure. They got people doing stuff. They're on media. Like, I mean, I got a daughter in school. They're on media. They're really focusing on the wrong things. They don't have to focus on God. They're worried about what the person's saying about them. They're too focused on themselves and on the friends around them. Okay? Then you can have people like, they can get into financial debts, and they get so caught up into their financial debts that they're focused on their debts, that they become stressful and they become worrying. And I can understand that. I remember years ago when I did. I bought a vehicle, and I was sure I could pay for it. But someone kept reminding me daily that I couldn't afford this car. It wasn't me reminding me, but somebody else was reminding me I couldn't afford this car. And I began to, it sunk in. I could afford it. That's why I bought it. But what they kept telling me sunk in that, okay, I can't afford this car. And I worried, and I fretted over this car. When I say that, friend, I'm talking, I would pace the floor at the middle of the night worrying about how I was going to pay for this car. I mean, I'm up walking back and forth in my bedroom, in my living room, worrying about how I'm going to make the payment on this car. Because this is the first car I'd ever bought on payments. And I was freaking, I mean, I knew I could make the payments when I bought it. But I was convinced that I couldn't by somebody else. And so I worried and I fretted about it. And the only way I could honestly get my mind off of that, I would read the Bible. Literally. I would just pick my Bible up and started reading it to get my mind off of that debt. Now, it was still in the back of my mind. I was still sick about it, but the only way I could get peace and relief was by reading the book. And so I would get into the Bible. So I do understand that. I understand people can get so wrapped up in things. And they may not be bad things, but they can get so involved in the things that they're in and what they're doing and their social media and what, if y'all watch movies and stuff, they can get so involved in those things that they lose their focus because they're letting life and the cares of life get so involved in what they're doing that they lose total focus on Jesus. So now this individual is so wrapped up in their movies and so wrapped up in their world and in their own life, then they go out in public and they can't hear from God when God's trying to deal with this person over here. Now they're not close enough to God because their focus is not on God. So how can they be used of God? So the reality is we have to become focused on God. And so the only way we can focus on God is we've got to make time for God. I'm not saying all those other things are bad. They're not. I'm talking to me. They're not all bad, but it's got to be moderation because we got to put focus where focus needs to be. I want to be able to walk into a store, and if God says, and I can't say I'll tell you that I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I don't want to talk to that person. What if they really don't want to talk to you? Because God could be dealing with me and say, Terry, you need to talk to this person. And I've done it. And then they find out when I start talking to this person, I start finding out, okay, now I understand why you want me to talk to them, Lord. Okay? But if I'm not focused on God, I can't be used by God. Does that make sense? I mean, we have to be focused. I knew of a man, he was in a meeting, an apostolic meeting, big meeting, and the Holy Ghost started moving in the building. This man was sitting on a platform. He was one of the big shots on the platform. And he said that the Holy Ghost started moving, and there was a woman sitting over here that wasn't what right by their standards, if you will say it that way. Her dress, her hair, makeup, the whole ball of wax was sitting on the front row. And God used this woman in tongues. Okay, and then somebody else interpreted it. This man's sitting back here, and he's like, Lord, why didn't you use me? Because he was embarrassed because of who was being used. And God said, your attention wasn't on me. You was too busy about the service that you wasn't focused on me. This is the man of God that was a great deacon in this organization. And he was so busy about the service, he wasn't focused on the things of God. Does that make sense? So the reality is we have to get our focus back. We're in the last days, and guess what? Satan and all of his demonic demons are going to do everything in their power to take your focus off of God. And like the biggest lie that Satan's ever told was, is he don't exist. and that God doesn't exist because he doesn't want you changing the world. You really want to have Satan deal with you? Start doing things for God. Start moving mountains. You're going to get his attention. If you're not getting Satan's attention, it's because you're not doing anything. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I'm talking to me, too. So the reality is, to give you a thought, 1 Samuel 30 and 6. See, we must have balance in Christ first in our minds over all the stuff that we have. If we worry and are discouraged and overwhelmed, it was like David in his situation. And what it says here is, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, you understand, they went out and was going to fight battles or whatever. And when they came back to their home, their families were all gone. All of them. Kids, wives, they were all gone. And he had, 600 men with him? And they're all wanting to kill him because the families are gone? And so David was quite distressed. I think I would be too, when they're wanting to kill him. And so the people spake of stoning him because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now think about that. Okay, so he could have let his mind be all worried and fretting over his, not only was he was grieved too, his family was gone too. Okay, then he had all the people that was mad at him, and he could have just focused on that. But what did he do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay, so how would that happen? Okay, for example, I don't know if anybody does this or not, and I probably should do it more than I do, but it's not a bad thing to journal when God does something for you in your life. I mean, in your daily, I'm talking in your daily life, I don't care how small it is. If it's something that you can recognize that God has done something for you in that day, journal it. And the big things, journal it. Because then, like with David, David could go back and say, I remember, Lord, when the lion came against me and I fought the lion. It wasn't David's strength that killed the lion. It was God's strength that gave him the strength to kill that lion. It was God's strength that helped him to kill the bear. So David could reflect back, God, I remember when. And so David had to encourage himself. He had to remember what God did for him, how God brought him out, how God saved him from certain situations, even to the case when he was with Saul. And how Saul wanted to kill him. Because before this, Saul was trying to kill him. And God always made a way out. So David could always look back and encourage himself from things that happened in his past that God saved him from. And so the reality was, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now here's a thought. We can get our focus back to become salty once more. Okay, we can focus on the Lord. Now, in Philippians 4:4-8, I mean, God gave us provisions in the book to teach us how to get our focus back on God, if we know where to look in the book. Okay, and I have done this before. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, now this is very important. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So friend, here's the thing. When your mind begins to wander, you begin to fret, you begin to worry about things, focus on him. I'll be honest, a few months ago, there was a situation that I noticed for my life, and I was at home, and I was in bed, getting ready to go to bed, and my mind started thinking about this situation, and I started worrying about it, and I started getting my stomach, I don't know if you know what I mean, your stomach begins to sink, the realization sinks in, it's like, ugh, and I'm like, no, I can't let this happen. I can't change it right now. I can't affect it right now. I need sleep. And so I began to get my mind on other things. It really does work. I remembered the scripture. Not perfect, but I remembered the scripture. And I'm like, okay, I got to get my mind off of what it's on. And so I began to bring, and almost that quick, when I started getting my mind on the things of God and on these things that the scripture said, that settled in my spirit. Revived, if I can say it that way, and my stomach wasn't sinking anymore. Did the situation change? No. I still had to deal with the situation. But for the moment, I had peace because I allowed myself to focus on those things which were good, to focus on those things that would bring peace and comfort to our souls. We can do that. The reality is we need to find time for God, and we need to put our focus on God. And when those situations happen that will make us fret and to make us worry, we can put our minds on the things of God if we so choose to do so. That's all in your court. That's in your hands. You decide which way you want to go. For me, it worked. I mean, and I know if you will try it, if you haven't, it will work for you also. You can have the peace of God always, because in God there is peace. There is constant peace, and that's where you'll find it, is in him, and to focus on him. He gave us a way out. He made a way for us. If we just use the book and look, I mean, think about this. When Jesus was being tried by the devil, when the devil took him up to high pinnacle and all that stuff, he constantly quoted scripture. He didn't say anything else. He just quoted scripture. It is written. Okay, so if it is written, why don't I use that written word to defend myself? It is a two-edged sword, okay? And all we have to do is focus on him and put our lives back on him. So the reality is, friend, where is your focus? Okay, I'm not saying that we're all bad Christians, no. But the reality is, where is our relationship with God? Where is our focus? Are we really doing the things of God? What did Jesus tell his mother when he was 12 years old or whatever it was? Woman, knowest thou not that I must be about my Father's business? Well, people, he's our Father, and we must be about our Father's business. Okay? Are we reaching souls? Are we reaching souls? I asked a person, and this probably wasn't right to do, but I asked a person one time that had been in church a few years. I asked him how many souls they won to God. Don't do that, but I did this. And this person told me they'd not reached one soul. They'd not seen one person that they'd ever talked to that ever came to church and got the Holy Ghost. Think about that. Now, they talked to people. Doesn't mean that the seed wasn't planted. But I was curious at how many souls that they saw, that they talked to, that came to the altar, that they saw them get the Holy Ghost. And that sort of bothered me. I didn't say anything to them, but it bothered me. Okay, Lord, for my life, how many people have I seen? Honestly, I've seen a few people get the Holy Ghost. It is great to stand here at the altar beside somebody that you brought to church and watch them get the Holy Ghost. I've seen it. I've done it. Honestly, it's been a few days, but I have. And I've got friends that are in the church that I have brought to the church. Now, is that, and that doesn't mean nothing to me, but I mean, it does mean something to me. But what about tomorrow? Because that was yesterday, if I can say it that way. What about tomorrow? So I can't live on a memory, because there's more souls to be saved. And we have to reach souls. I'm just like what Justin said, 300 and what is it, 60 said? That's a noble number. I would love to see it. But I want to be a part of the people that reach those souls. So it's one thing to see him in the church, but am I one of those that have reached those souls? So was my focus on God that I could reach a soul for him? And the reality is, Friend, you don't have to work hard to reach a soul. All you got to do is be in tune with God and listen. When he says reach somebody, trust me, if God's asking you to reach somebody, it's because God's already dealing with them. He's already made the way. Just Satan's sitting there telling you, oh, they don't want to hear what you got to say. In reality, they do. You just don't know it because you don't know them. God does. There ain't nobody on this earth God doesn't know. And if you're in tune with God and you're praying and you have a right relationship and your focus is right, when you beside that person, God's going to say, hey, this person's talking to me. I want you to talk to this person. And I promise you, you'll see your world change reaching souls.